In today's episode, I talk about the Harvard of South Central Florida, Samantha has some sound medical advice, Mike finds his real father, and JJ reveals the truth. This is Miami Connection. JJ, you know, this is kind of
let's do Miami.
Want to do Miami?
Let's do Miami Connection. All right.
Mike, I appreciate your yearning to find your real dad. I really do, because in today's episode of Fun Sphere Movie Club, hi, I'm Josh. We'll be talking about Miami Connection and Mike's long-lost father. It's great.
My father.
You know, it's been so long.
It's my father.
I don't even remember all the. I'm glad. So can I peel back the curtain and explain that we tried to record this, but we ran into technical difficulties and it failed. And,
oh, yes, yes.
And then we ran into more technical difficulties and like moving stuff. And
yes.
It's been so long. I can't even remember all the jokes we made. So.
It's great.
I wish I kept the recording. It would be interesting to see if naturally sort of the same jokes came up.
I had the same inclination, but I was like, you know what? If I re-listen to it, I'll probably just inadvertently tell the same jokes again.
Well, listen after.
Well, yeah, I guess it could. Hey,
I did make the mistake of re-watching this a second time last night.
Oh, great.
And that's not recommended.
So you have the true Miami Connection.
Yeah, the first time was fine. Second time, not so much.
The true Miami Connection was the friends we made along the way.
I also I tried to watch the riff tracks again.
Okay.
And
okay.
Rage turned it off again. And it made me realize that we should do a movie that makes fun of them making fun of Miami Connection.
So that makes you have to watch it a third time.
Yeah,
Mike.
just having a movie that shows like these guys trying way too hard to be funny. I think would be funny.
Well, they're paper.
Because they suck.
Oh, but they're... Oh, my goodness. Okay, all right. Before we get into all that, let's give a little history about what we were talking about today. So for those folks that don't know, and I imagine it's quite a few, Miami Connection is a 1987 independent martial arts film starring Y.K. Kim, who also wrote and produced the feature. This was released in 1988 in Central Florida and was a bit of a disappointment at the box office, let's say.
What?
Yeah. And then basically it disappeared from the mortal realm for 30 plus years. Until a intrepid young man by the name of Zach Carlson found the original film on eBay and won it for $50. And it's gone on since to become a cult classic. And as most cult classics go, this was recommended to us by JJ. So why don't you tell us how you became familiar with this film?
Our friends at the local cinema... happened to show just a small screening of it about, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago.
Okay.
And yeah, so that was the whole thing. We all went to watch it. It was kind of you know, they told me you have to watch it. They told me the story about how the guy found it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of it was, you know, I went out and had a couple beers to go watch it, and I laughed so hard. And that was just it. I thought I was going to watch this karate movie about drugs and all this stuff, because the picture that they showed me, like, you just have to watch it. It's just completely absurd.
Yes.
So watch it. It was great. It was great. Well. Yeah, it was great.
I will say this. If I had encountered this movie on television as a kid, I would have absolutely loved it because it has ninjas and motorcycles and cheesy rock music. It's right up my alley. Okay. So, and you're, I remember, I think, talking about this last time. I was like, you were actually one of the very first people to see it, maybe after it got past the, like, it was still being kind of like passed around hand to hand. You couldn't buy it or anything yet. But, you know, since then, it's gone on to have Blu-ray releases. And I think there's a legit 4K version coming out or has come out soon. Actually, it's funny. Since I started searching for this film when we were watching it, it keeps popping up on my Amazon recommends for the Blu-ray version.
Of course.
I was like, and it's like $40 for it too, so it's an expensive Blu-ray.
Oh, that's a steal.
Was YK Kim, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does he still own the rights to it? Does he get money?
That is unclear about the ownership of the film. Oh, wait a minute. No, I take that back. No, technically the film and its rights were purchased by a distributor. That's how it actually made it out into the theaters. So I guess they would technically get it, but that's one of those things. Are they even around? It doesn't even actually name the distribution company. So they're probably not around anymore. Huh.
Wow. Well, I just think he deserves money.
I think he deserves money, too, especially since he nearly bankrupted himself in the production of this film.
Especially since Friends for Eternity, Loyalty, Honesty.
How do you have a movie that has all these uplifting messages and then just random grotesque murders and biker tits?
Oh, yeah.
All in the same movie.
And a couple that never just... kisses hello, a normal kiss, a little peck. They have to make out fully in front of their friends every time.
Every time.
The weirdest makeout scene ever.
With Mike watching in the background.
That's right.
You know, I was going to come in here dressed up as him, but I couldn't find a clip-on earring to pull it off. And I would need a... sleeveless shirt.
Yes.
You got scissors?
And white pants.
Yep. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
actually, Skid has some white pants because he was playing, they were doing Call of Cthulhu, but it was set in the 80s. So.
Okay. Nice. All right. So I'm going to give a quick plot synopsis.
Good luck.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking this is a test for anyone to come up with a plot synopsis. But here's what we got. A cocaine dealer in Miami is interrupted. No, excuse me. A cocaine deal is interrupted by a group of motorcycle riding ninjas led by their leader, Yasuhito, who steal the drugs and ride back to Orlando to party. At the club, they meet Mike's dad, Jeff, and... That man is your father. I am convinced. I've met your father. Mr. Bartlett is a wonderful person, but I don't know. I think we need to track this guy down, do a little Maury situation, because you are the spitting image of this gentleman's close associate, Jeff.
Oh, fake Chuck Norris?
Fake Chuck Norris, yes. And then again, the rest of the plot is basically this group of musicians / taekwondo practitioners and University of Central Florida students have all these interactions and dealings with these ninjas and these drug dealers, basically because one of the band members is dating the sister of one of the local drug dealers. And let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. None of the film takes place in Miami, except for, like, the very first section. It actually has no connection to Miami, and I think I have an idea for why.
Why?
It's very expensive to film in Miami. However, Orlando, you could do in the cheap. in the 80s. I'm fairly sure that's the reason.
But, well, I think yeah. the connection was that's where the drugs were coming from.
I suppose, yes.
Sure, but listen, let's say if we did a drug raid in Miami, we stole the drugs, and we all had motorcycles. Like, we got to get this to Orlando.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean,
that's about a four-hour
yeah.
motorcycle ride, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is. It would be quite
in the middle of the night.
Dressed as ninjas, carrying your ninja yeah. gear. And the drugs.
I was thinking of like the old PlayStation game Tenchu, you know, the whole stealth.
Yeah.
And just imagine just driving up to the scene in a motorcycle, then doing all your stealth moves and all of that. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
It does not.
No. Wow.
Well, I agree.
While we're talking about Central Florida.
Okay.
That scene in the classroom is like something straight out of Tim and Eric. Like him going at the door and he's like,
oh, come on.
Yeah.
Making faces. So weird.
I also love the like, I think that was like a computer programming class they were taking. And like,
yeah, the teacher's like, everybody did a really good job, and then goes and hugs everybody.
Yeah.
That's
really good work. That's a good circle you're making.
That is the type of education and community the University of Central Florida is known for.
Mm.
Yes.
I think that makes sense, actually.
The great scales and hugs.
I don't know if you guys know that, but the University of Central Florida is often called the Harvard of the South, central part of Florida.
Wait,
it's a joke, like all of this.
Central Hard Florida?
No, the Harvard of Central South Florida.
Okay.
But not too south.
Not too south. No,
and
no,
not
no.
too central.
No, it can't be. It has to kind of be like right in the middle. It needs that little area because there are far better schools north and south of it.
Right in the center of the Central Florida area, but
yes.
not too central.
Yes. And like I said, it is the prestigious university in that specific area.
It is the most prestigious university on that block.
That's correct. Yes. Now, okay. The next block over, you have a debate, but, you know, when you're there, you're good. It's hard.
If there are no beautician, like, if there are no, like, esthetician academies or anything on that block with Central Florida University, I will agree.
I was also going to say, as long as there's no, like, what do they call it? Kickstart academies or anything like that, or learning centers for children.
Kumon.
Or, yeah, anything like that. Boy, I sure
actually would be.
I hope we don't offend any of our University of Central Florida alumni listeners that we have, which I'm sure we do.
All right, I can ask Ryan. No, he lives in California. I know where Skid went. It certainly wasn't that. Did your brother go there?
Did my brother?
Yeah.
No.
All right, that's everybody.
Wow, this movie just makes you loopy. Just try to think about it. But So, all right, Mike, I'm going to bring it up since you brought it, since you mentioned it earlier. I watched the Riff Tracks version.
Mm. Me too.
So you didn't watch the like the regular?
No.
Without all of their shitty commentary?
First off, that is like 3/4 the cast of the original Mystery Science Theater 3000, so you better watch your tone, young man.
I'm, you know, after watching it, I'm wondering if I went back and watched that stuff, I would not like it either.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't.
Some of it, I think, doesn't hold up, but maybe some of the newer stuff, like when they got different, more updated jokes.
I mean, don't make me track down your dad and have him speak to you about that, okay? Because I'll
Please
do it.
Please do, actually.
You'd be like, you know, you're right.
We should start
this is low effort.
No, he's going to be over aggressive for now. What are you doing with these kids?
Yeah. Oh, wow. All right, so the film is certainly action-packed, I will say. And it's action-packed in ways that are just sometimes a little beyond belief. And sometimes you're like, nah, that totally makes sense for an independent film that's being produced by, media department of the University of Central Florida and
a taekwondo teacher.
Yeah, like that tracks. Definitely.
It was kind of surprising, in the what is it called? The montage, the training montage.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't cut out the part where he drops the knife and has to pick it back up.
Hey.
No, that's part of
we got to do one take.
That brings up a great point. There are a lot of sections in this film that are definitely, you could tell, we've only got a certain amount of time here before the cops show up. So let's real quick shoot this and then run.
The guy that leans his head towards the dude pouring beer on everybody's heads.
I was also thinking about when, I can't remember, it was YK trying to jump in the Cadillac or one of his friends and totally whiffs. So instead of like, all right, cut, let's try it again. Because the car was already running and gas was already so expensive, they're like, nope, just do it again. Jump again until you get in the car.
I did make that joke last time.
Yes,
there was. You know, whenever they pull up in their convertible and they're confronted by everybody,
you'll have to be more specific.
Three different times trying to figure out what he's saying, because he's like he gets worked up and he's like, we don't want any trouble. It sounds like he just merges. Is he Korean?
Yes.
Right? Sounds like he's mixing Korean and English in that sentence.
Yeah.
And it's not the natural response. The guy hit his car with a chain.
He did.
Like, and he seems more terrified at that point now. We don't want any trouble. The guy's like, I'm going to beat your damn ass. And I don't know why. It's so bad.
Go ahead, JJ.
Oh, go ahead, Josh.
I was going to say, that fight at 3 a.m. in the middle of Orlando was probably the one they're like, look, we get one take at this. There's no practice. We got to go. And so, like, all the fight scene, that one is actually, I will say, I was most impressed by that one. I think that's actually one of their more well-filmed of the, 28 fight scenes in this film, at least?
Yeah, so that one was amazing. I also thought the very beginning, you know, how the ninjas were kind of going through the bushes, you know, they had some depth. And
yeah.
It was pretty cool. But other than that, no, it you know, like, all right, let's just have a bunch of people running around, because it's really not fighting. They're just running around until someone turns around and gets kicked in the face.
And then that final fight was just gore.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's just insanely violent. And not very smart, because you don't drag somebody with an open wound
through the swamps of Central Florida.
Yeah.
Through the storm drains of Central Florida. I don't think that was actually a swamp.
That was like a stream or something.
But yeah.
It's swampy.
It definitely did look that way. And also, it was great because that's where you can clearly see that we swapped out the Asian actor for one of the hero actors in the scene, because the actual ninja didn't know how to fight, so they had to get the the other white guy to do it. And it's like, it was great. I was thinking more about that, because I think I mentioned that last time too, and I was like, there's a 6-inch height difference between these dudes. And like, it's you're like, wow, I'm very I'm not buying into the movie magic here of clearly seeing this is the former actor. This is definitely the stunt double being more visible than others.
And then I was just thinking about the end too, how like, I don't understand the plot with that guy looking for his real dad. It just gets like shoehorned in, and then at the end, like, he was gonna, first of all, take a plane to go meet this guy.
Yes, he was.
And then he decided, actually, I'll come see him in the hospital.
Well, planes do work both ways, usually.
I know that. I'm just saying, like, this guy...
Well, they never go over, like, he abandoned them.
Yeah, like, he didn't bother.
And then he's like, well, I'm going to come back now.
I also like the idea of how they made him look like an elderly gentleman of sprinkling flour into his hair and mustache to make him look like he was someone that could have possibly had a child that age when he was probably actually maybe 2 years older than the actor he was supposed to be the father of.
Yeah, it's like his older brother.
Yeah.
it's like 30 Rock. When Tracy Jordan's he's older than Tracy.
I was trying to remember the line what he said. You know, it's my father, and then he told his backstory.
Yeah.
But
while crying
and smiling, and it was so weird. But what did he say? Like, my mother was whatever
Korean,
but then my father was like Mississippi American. No, he didn't say that, but I don't remember exactly what he said. But something
my mother was Korean and my father was Black American. She gave me this picture when she was real sick. I was only 9 years old.
All right.
And Mark, I didn't know you had a father. I thought we were all
Yeah. And I didn't know you had a father. I thought we were all orphans. And then it took me back to one of your favorite games, Mike, Final Fantasy VIII. Remember when they're like, we're all orphans? And I'm like, wait a minute. Is this did Final Fantasy VIII copy this entire movie?
No.
Oh, my God. Just going through all the quotes. Best pickup line ever. They don't make buns like that down in the bakery.
All right. Go on.
This doesn't look like the welcome wagon. That's when they get jumped.
Yeah.
Oh, so Mike, and I think I brought this up last time, you know, you're the one who did a lot of shows and music and everything like that. And if you happen to lose a gig, would you take that approach to take out the, because what do you think would have happened if the band would have won the fight? Do they get their gig back? What were they trying to prove?
Yeah,
is that
standard industry practice?
Yes.
Also, why was the nightclub owner so good of a fighter, and like he beat the crap out of one band and the goons they brought to get their job back, and then never appears anymore or has any sort of relation to the band or the taekwondo practitioners that we're aware of? But like, it was again one of the many fight scenes, but he just like clowns this like group of seven dudes that are armed. And it's just like,
yeah,
is every club promoter able to do that? Is that also an industry standard thing?
I would
Mike
in Florida, yes.
Okay. That might be a good point there, Samantha. In Florida, yes. That should be their slogan. In Florida, yes.
Somebody found that quote that I was talking about. He goes, listen to me. I don't want to have any trouble. I just got the job from agent. Don't bother us.
Oh. Well, while we're on the subject of the music, the performances, and I use that very, very loosely.
Nothing was plugged in.
Nothing was plugged in. I'm trying to think to myself.
They did have a Prophet 600, too.
Ooh.
It's a nice synth.
I was going to say, was it maybe performed with the enthusiasm of the original Showbiz Pizza animatronics, or slightly better, slightly worse? I'm still on the fence personally about that.
Showbiz Pizza.
Wait. Do you really?
Chuck E. Cheese. Okay.
No, it was Showbiz.
Oh, no. Showbiz.
Chuck E. Cheese bought them out.
Yes.
Yeah. They still have a website.
Yeah.
Showbiz?
Yeah. I'm on it right now.
So I will say something I noticed last night with not their music, but the actual soundtrack.
Okay.
Behind most of the movie. It sounded better. Probably because the like the issues they had running the tape.
Mm-hmm.
But it, I think it ended up making the stuff sound better. Like that out of phase kind of out of tune sense.
Mike, the thing that impresses me the most is that you watched this twice. I want that to be known.
Well, I mean, because it's been over a month. Like, the next episode we're about to record, I feel like I don't have nearly as much to say as I did then.
Don't worry, pal. Because
so much time has passed.
I've got plenty to say on the next episode.
Funsphere, which podcast?
Glam Glub.
Glam Glub.
Oh, Glam Glub.
That's right. Correct. All right.
So what about the power to be able to project what's going to happen in the movie? Like, these guys already had a song called Against a Ninja before they even fought the ninja at this point.
Well, in the United States in the late 80s, there was a ninja pandemic. So, I mean, it was kind of a pretty ordinary thing to be up against the ninja.
Ninjademic.
Yes. Some say that America was made greater by it. I'm one of those people because I still think that ninjas are the coolest thing ever. Ninjas, robots, and then dinosaurs in that order. That's
Naruto?
No. I prefer my ninjas of the turtle variety, actually.
You mean Toidle.
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 Ninja
Toidle. Also, American Ninja 1 through... Four, that was awesome. Yes, not as many turtles in that, but a few. Also,
you know, go ahead.
I was gonna say I never thought there was such a intricate connection between the ninja society and the biker society, but this film did show us that they have a lovely, lovely relationship. I thought that was very important to see. Because ninjas and bikers get along like, you know.
I'm sorry. Is there not a motorcycle called a ninja?
There is.
There is.
The Kawasaki Ninja. Very popular during this time as well, which is funny because I think of all the bikes in the film, only like one or two of the ninjas are riding the ninjas. It just seems like a missed opportunity.
I remember thinking, I know for sure these bikers, like at the bar or whatever, were actual Florida citizens, actual bikers.
Yes.
Because of all the missing teeth.
That's true. They were legit bikers.
They were very beat up. All of them.
So I think we figured out the true connection of this movie then.
Okay.
So it's a story of Miami and the connections that it brings.
Oh.
There's no connection to Miami, but you have ninjas and bikers.
JJ, that
musicians,
cocaine,
and ninjas, and then cocaine. Yeah, it brings it all in.
You have literally changed my entire outlook on the film with that revelation right there. Thank you,
so,
JJ.
So, if the movie was called Connections, a story about Miami,
I'm pretty sure one of those topless bikers' names was Miami.
Cocaine is the slightly wet cocaine is the glue that's holding them all together, and that cocaine came from Miami.
Slightly wet cocaine.
I actually don't know the tech, like, I just assume, because, you know, when you get powder kind of wet, it's, like, sticky, so that's why I'm assuming that. I don't know about cocaine. I'm sorry. I don't even drink alcohol.
If you compare it to Fun Dip, it will be sticky. Yes.
Yes, that's the perfect correlation. Fun Dip and cocaine. They're both addictive substances, and they've been riddling us with crime in the United States since the 1980s, late 70s perhaps, you know. And they both have had a resurgence recently. Yeah, that's true. Both are laced with fentanyl, unfortunately.
Everything is. Don't you watch the news?
Yes.
Everything. All things. If a cop sees fentanyl, he'll implode. On the spot. Did you guys, I don't know, this was just like when I was in school or what, but there was like a moment where all the kids were snorting pixie sticks because it made you cry colors.
What?
Well, because, you know, it's all connected up in all these tubes. So it was like a thing. I wouldn't do it because I was scared, but like everybody was snorting them, and then so they'd cry whatever color pixie stick they
wow
wasted.
Absolutely not. Never no. encountered that.
I guess we no. did things differently in the Bay.
I guess you did.
I only let stuff come out of my nose. Nothing goes in.
Agreed. Except my fingers.
I'm going to look that up because that sounds like an urban myth, like the Pop Rocks and soda thing.
No, I watched people do it. It's like also like in fourth grade, there was like a thing in our class where if you didn't have a snack, you just ate paper, you know?
What? Did you go to a special school?
No. Well, I mean, this was in Illinois, so maybe. I don't know. Like, really rural. Salmonok. But yeah, like, everybody was like, I'll just eat paper. Om, nom, nom. And more for, like, the shock factor of, like, oh,
okay.
they're eating paper, you know?
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Not, like, actually, oh, this, I'm not hungry anymore because I ate paper.
At our school, elementary school, anytime they would serve corn in the cafeteria, we would stick all the corn kernels through our teeth so that it looked like we had corn teeth.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And then we would, because they would bring all the classes in a single file line to go through the, like the whole lunchroom. So we would roll our grapes in the walkway. And then all laugh hysterically whenever one would get stepped on.
Wow, what a waste of grapes.
No, it was way better seeing them get stepped on.
So we've got kids who don't have snacks, yep. and then people that are letting people yeah. step on grapes.
Yeah, look at this. Living a life of leisure and privilege.
Now, I could see
wasting
the corn
grapes, tossing them upon the ground.
Snorting pixie sticks. Yeah,
like it's nothing. Like, oh, I don't need to eat this. I'll have it. I'll just put it in my nose so I can cry colors.
I could see someone that did that, then later eating paper. That does track, I will
okay,
say.
Well, this was in two different states and several years apart.
These both of these stories have one connection I can think of, though. And it's not Miami. A Miami. No.
I said
not.
It first. It's Miami.
You do. All right. I succeed the point. There you go. Well done.
So back to the movie. I will say one of the redeeming qualities was it seemed to be pretty well produced, like the production value.
Yeah.
As far as like shooting. They had some good shots outside of there are some scenes where it looked like they had trouble restoring it. Like the that montage we talked about, that was pretty grainy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But otherwise, like that was one of the stronger parts of the film, I thought.
Yeah. And I will say this. I am very impressed by YK Kim's devotion to the film because he basically self-financed it. You know, he wrote it and stuff like that. His original idea for, because he was traveling the United States to bring more attention to Taekwondo, which actually I think did start to get popular in the United States in the 80s, if I think about it, because I think it became an Olympic sport in the 90s and stuff like that. So, like, his devotion to the project itself is very inspirational. And, you know, there's a story, I'm sure, years later, Mr. Kim goes back to South Korea and reopens his school and his teaching, and someone reaches out to him about re-releasing the film, and he thought it was a joke.
Aww.
Yeah, it's really kind of sad. Like, but, like I said, I'm glad that it does have... that his devotion, at least, to his martial art was rewarded by people actually falling in love and liking the film. It's
did it have a national release, or
no,
did it just air in Florida?
Apparently, it never got past Florida.
Because I think I read it was like 8 theaters.
Yeah.
When it debuted.
I mean, literally, the information for release dates is it has its release dates. And it just says Central Florida next to it, not nationwide, not international or anything like that.
Oh my God.
I was trying to see. There was a very vicious quote from a critic about the film that actually had this. Let me see here. I'm trying to find it because it's so cutting. Here it is. Roger Hulbert of the South Florida Sun Sentinel wrote, "For a lack of better synopsis, Miami Connection is a cocaine war rock ninja motorcycle gang film with aspirations of being action adventure musical." No, that's not the one. That's actually like very...
Yeah, that sounds... Yeah. That makes it sound awesome.
I'm sorry. I must have missed that up. Mm-hmm. Hang on a second.
It says the budget was estimated at $1 million, and the gross worldwide was $2,199.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So the sad thing about that is because I'm looking at some of the trivia as well, and he was talking about all the bikers were paid in beer, and then some of the bikers still showed up to the premiere as well.
Oh,
so
that's nice.
But if you had 100 bikers...
I don't think they bought tickets.
Oh, that's heartbreaking, because even if, yeah, I mean, $10, well,
no,
movies back
like
then would have been like $4.
Yeah, like the Dollar Theater in Knoxville.
Still, that should have been at least $4K from the bikers right there. That's, I'm disappointed. They probably thought they got beer for the premiere as well.
Mike, here's something you're going to like. Against the Ninja is briefly heard in the 10-year-old Tom episode, Taekwondo.
Oh.
And apparently...
I'll have to go back and watch
it. Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon uses the film's Friends song during its end credits, and its cover appears to be inspired by Miami Connection.
I can see that.
It's funny, the Wikipedia article also says, see also Samurai Cop.
No. Take it as a suggestion to actually watch it and read about it. I've got a couple movie posters over here, and I have a framed Miami Connection poster over here. Autographed, which is amazing, because it was one of the promotions that they ran. You got a vinyl. You got a vinyl with the two singles, a T-shirt, Dragon Sound, and a poster, and the Blu-ray.
Who's it signed by?
All of the cast.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Here, I'll get up real quick. Okay. Hold on. Well, no, I'll probably end up knocking everything down, but I'll show it to you. Yeah.
I don't know if you can hear those kids outside.
We can, but it won't come across in editing, so it'll be fine.
Okay.
Oh.
I can't control that.
No. We're children.
Oh. Or just yell at him like YK Kim.
Yep.
Stop all the racket.
I
don't know what he would say.
I'm recording here.
Yeah.
We don't want any more trouble.
So I was reading one of the trivia things about it as well, and it talked about one of the fight scenes that it says one of the fight scenes was interrupted by police who thought the brawl was real. I saw a lot of those kicks.
Yeah.
None of them landed. I mean, you know, it would just, it's like me pulling up to the park and watching people LARPing. And I'm like, whoa, this is completely real.
Whoa,
you know, we need to break this
magic
up.
Holy shit.
Did you see that guy throw a fireball? What the?
It's the end times.
Yeah, JJ, you're right. Some of those kicks weren't even in the same zip code as the people they were aimed at. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, the kick was thrown to Miami, but expected to hit in Central Florida, I guess.
Sounds like a hurricane. It's hitting the Miami region, but is expected to do the most impact in Central Florida.
I like the Kung Pao moment whenever the guy falls on all those girls at the beach.
Yeah.
And then they just show the same clip of him getting up three times.
I'm falling.
And was that supposed to be smooth? Because that's worse than a pickup line. What was going on? Like, that would put you in jail now. That would put you in jail then, yeah. That was okay because he's with his karate friends or taekwondo friends, yes. I guess.
He was just joshing around.
Just joshing around. So what do you think the age difference between the guys were? They're all college kids.
Yes.
Right?
All orphans from various mm-hmm. international backgrounds, which is brought up for reasons. I don't know how orphans would know their international heritage, but that's another question.
The library.
Well, he says, doesn't he? Who did he reach out to? Some government agency.
The FBI!
In the middle of his crying.
I think it was the FBI because, you know, FBI's got nothing better to do than to help people track down their missing relatives. Well, actually, I guess that's kind of true in a way. Now I think about it. but I believe that was one of the messages of like, look how international Taekwondo can be.
I think they were all around the same age except YK, who had to be 10 years older than everybody.
10 is generous. I'd say a good 15 to 20. But that's me.
Well, that's like, me being a lot younger than you guys, even though I am 35.
And yeah, a lot younger.
Okay, so I'm going to do some quick math here and to figure out exactly how old YK Kim was. Because the surprising, it may shock you. Let's see here.
Carry the two.
Yep, carry the two.
He was born in 1956. Okay, so he is
three
years older than my mom.
He was born in 1946, so he was 42 years old at the time of filming.
This says it was born in 1956.
Born November 29th, 1946 is what I've got here.
Somebody messed. Okay, so okay, actually, now, so it maybe says that on the Wikipedia, 29 November 1946, but then on his about, when you Google him, it says 1956.
Okay, so they pulled the Hollywood thing for him then. You give every actor like a decade plus on their birth year. So if you were born in 1946, you'd actually say, I was born in 1956.
Oh heck, God. I'm still in my 30s. I love it.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah. I was going to say that's
in my 20s now. I found his Facebook fan page. Action Body.
Action Body.
Wait, what? That's the name? Action Body?
Uh-huh.
Is that... What does that even mean? Is that a nickname he gave himself?
I think this guy's doing very well.
Okay.
No, that's his weight loss plan.
I think he has several schools.
Yeah, I think he's
from what I read.
He looks really happy on his website.
Oh, that's nice. I'm glad he's happy.
He's got a really bad website, though. What the Joey Fatone? The five fitness that Grandmaster YK Kim wrote is well written and easy to understand as it breaks down and helps you with physical, mental, moral, financial, and overall life.
Hey, wait,
success.
wait. Cut it off. We're not getting paid for that.
Joey Fatone,
oh my gosh.
Actor, singer, member of NSYNC, and TV star.
Are you guys looking at this link?
No.
He just posted something 15 hours ago. This video.
Okay.
Doesn't look much better than the movie.
Oh no!
Look at how bad. It's like green screen, but then they're using stock footage behind the green screen.
Action Body lyrics.
Oh, he does look happy. Look at him.
I love an Action Body.
I destroyed my body.
That's what I said. All you can eat pizza at Mr. Gaddy's.
Stole all
I've
my energy.
Seen.
I tried to date, but out of the gate, they won't even look at me.
What a great! Did you
got depressed? No confidence. I was sick and angry.
You should unmute it.
I don't think
it's a great song.
Oh, that song is awful.
No, it's great.
This video is awful.
It requires an action body. Action, action. I love an action body. Well, okay, we don't have to feel bad for this guy at all.
No, he's doing well.
He's very happy. He's having a great time. He helped Joey Fatone lose weight, I guess. And a bunch of Korean Assembly members. And Peter Lowe.
Well, I think on that uplifting note, there's not much more we can say about the Miami Connection.
Not this film,
Vader Wade. What a phenomenal read. I couldn't wait for the next page because it got me one page closer to the end.
Wait a minute.
So one last thing. I think there's a lot of lies here.
what?
In these trivias, because some of the directors, now I'm down this deep dive looking at another director had a chance to meet him and said he was so inspired by Miami Connection he wanted to make a film with him. Let me find the name.
And that man's name was Steven Spielberg.
Whoa. So as I scroll down, it says Steven Seagal has stated that this is his favorite martial arts film.
I don't think any of the testimonials on his website are real either.
And then the director...
I mean, come on. It's not like Joey Fatone is that hard of a get at this point for...
I know, but like...
I saw him in a gang commercial, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I'm just saying. The wording is suspect, okay? Not that I think Joey Fatone is a master of the English language, but it's like...
Are you telling me notable Nobel laureate Joey Fatone is not a master of the English language?
The Five Fitness, a new concept of true success and a new global culture, is the best gift for all citizens of the world.
Oh, well, I know I'm getting you guys for Christmas then. A copy of this.
Sounds like you put the cult and culture there.
I don't even think... I feel like all of this is fake. He's not really in front of us. This crowd's not here for him.
That's the stock footage.
Or it's real footage and he's fake. It's just a CGI version.
Oh my God. All the media pictures are just... Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Why would he do this? Why would he give this to people?
He gave us the gift of Miami Connection. He's just continuing to give the world gifts of his experience and his martial arts. Okay? He's trying to do positive things in this world. Like fight ninjas.
Yeah.
And stop the drug trade.
My friends forever.
Yes.
Either that or he is doing like an Andy Kaufman-esque bit.
Oh, it seems like it, to be honest.
So before we leave, I want to touch back on another JJ pick.
Okay.
Breaking. Okay.
Breaking two, Electric Boogaloo?
Boogaloo was fine.
So no.
It was. I mean, in comparison.
Well, I wanted to get your all's reaction on... Jeez. Or to get your all's reaction to the beginning and already the end of breaking as the Olympic sport.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys see any of it?
Well, I mean, I've seen all the memes.
I've seen that people were breakdancing, right?
But did you know that they're already pulling it?
Wait,
yes.
Why?
Yeah.
Because I guess a bunch of reasons. It's hard to... judge for one,
yes.
And there's way too much artistic interpretation for them to be able to fairly score, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Something like
that's a decent reason, I think.
And that's the deep dive of Ray Gun. As bad as her performance, or people say as bad as it was, like, she figured out a way to cheat the system to get in. And I think she kind of knew she had no business being in there because everyone else was better than her. So she was like, I'm just going to represent myself and leave it to artistic interpretation. They're like, that's bad. And it's like, it may have been bad, but she shouldn't have even been there. And she knew that. And I think she knew that.
I think she learned that the hard way, though.
Yeah. I'll send y'all the link because there's this whole conspiracy theory about it and a paper that she wrote. Because she's a PhD. She has her PhD. She's a teacher. So, yeah.
I've also say this. There was, before the Olympics started, someone made a great suggestion. I think it was on X or something like that. It's like, we need to put more. Well, there was a suggestion, not necessarily great, that it's like we need to put one normal person against all these people so we can like get a real a real gauge of how exceptionally talented all these people are. And so I think that might have actually worked out through this
process. Just having a constant.
Yes. Now, I will say I have definitely seen like performances of high level breaking, and it is very impressive.
It's
just not a sport.
It's not an Olympic sport, but Olympic sports come and go. I mean, technically baseball hasn't been an Olympic sport, and it's coming back in 2028.
Dressage?
They do, yes, which is like the Olympic sport of you have far far too much money.
So I think the horses should actually be the winners and not the people on them.
I assume they already were.
Okay, good, good. Because, you know, you don't give the coaches the medal.
No.
People ones. So why would you just give the person who trained the horse the medal? Also,
but is that the hobby horse?
Huh?
A sport?
Hobby horse?
That's where the horses, yeah, like prance around and show how good they are.
No, where it's a pretend horse. Like a horse on a stick.
No. What? That should absolutely be in the Olympics. What is that?
I think there was a hobby. I think I know what you're talking about, but I don't think it ever made it to the Olympics. And if it did, yeah, I want to.
Now,
do
is
that.
It maybe one of the Goodwill games? Because have you seen the John Oliver thing? He's like, these are all the sports that are like basically competing to become an Olympic event, and some of the craziest sports they've got in there. I don't know if that's necessarily the Goodwill Games or the World Games, maybe is what it is. It's like the Junior Olympics, but not the actual Junior Olympics.
That just made me think of Quidditch and how the snitch is some guy in a yellow shirt and they just try to kill him.
So it was proposed.
Okay.
For the Paris Olympics, but it didn't end up.
I heard something.
They do have competitions.
I've seen like there's been discussions about like whether like competitive tag should become an Olympic sport. Which if you guys ever seen that, that gets like intense.
I saw Portlandia competitive hide and seek.
Yeah.
Well, I think what are they bringing back this year or 2028? They're bringing baseball, croquet. They're bringing
Is coming back. Softball,
and flag football.
Yeah, which the U.S. had better show up because we got our ass kicked in the World version by the Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even close. Like, it was a slaughter.
Baseball or flag football?
Flag football.
Oh, wow. Okay. Baseball made sense to me. But
No. We usually lost the Olympic version of baseball. That's, I think, why we stopped. So many teams didn't want to do it anymore because it exposed how poorly some teams played compared to other teams. Oh.
So, Mike, back to the hobby horse. There's a very expensive Etsy market that you can get real life horse heads and sticks for close to $200.
Real life horse heads.
Well, not real life.
Put at the foot of your bed.
I'm sorry. Life size horse heads. They're not the little stuffed horse heads. I mean, these things are pretty crazy. I'll send you.
I don't know if that's more terrifying or less. I don't know.
Well, you don't have to murder a horse, so I would say less.
I just want to put that head on a stick.
I don't know if a giant stuffed horse head, that's the stuff of nightmares.
Stuffed of nightmares.
Yep.
Anyway, can we be done with this episode?
I think we can. All right, we're going to say goodbye here, folks. Goodbye.
Goodbye here, folks.
Goodbye here, folks. Bye.
Wow. That was great. I'm just going to say, should I be like, say goodnight, Babs. Goodnight, Babs.
Oh, my. Don't even get me started on the Tiny Toons reboot.